Chapter 6. The Gopis Desire to Become Birds and Deer. After telling the story of Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami is giving us some rasayan, some nectar tonic, which is especially for those who have been freed from the disease but who are still a little weak. By taking this medicine for some time, the body will again become strong, meaning that one will be able to progress in sadhana and one's prema bhakti will become steadfast. First, he treated our disease, but just curing the disease is not everything, because one still remains weak. After one's shraddha has increased and transformed into nishtha, progressing from there, he will face many, many anartas. This nectar tonic is especially intended for those at this stage. If in a regulated manner one hears these final verses and then deeply meditates on them, his love for Bhagavan will surely increase. But if after hearing these verses one doesn't meditate on them, then at the time of taking Harinam, his mind will certainly be absorbed in thoughts of material enjoyment. While chanting, his mind will be unsteady, and remembrance of events from the life he led before he began to follow the path of bhakti will awaken inside him. Various kinds of sankalpa and vikalpa, attraction and repulsion to material objects, will come to his mind, and he won't receive the full benefit of this nectar tonic. But if someone meditates on these verses while taking Harinam, then his bhakti will surely increase. This is the method for increasing one's bhakti. While we are dreaming, those things which occupied our minds, which we meditated on time and again while awake, come to our vision. Sometimes things which are completely unrelated appear in our dream. It is all scrambled, and there is not even any realistic continuity. If our minds are not controlled, then it will be the same when we take Harinam. For a certain amount of time each day, we all hear some Harigata. But now consider what you are doing for all the remaining waking hours. If we fully meditate on Bhagavan during those remaining hours, then at all times the mind will remain absorbed in Him. The focus of our minds will be determined by what we think about during our waking hours. If for those hours the mind is pondering over sense enjoyment, such as what arrangements we have made for eating and drinking, and how we will solve all our worldly problems, then how will we be able to steadily think of Bhagavan? Will our minds remain steady while chanting from our daily hearing of perhaps only 1 hour of Harigata? It will certainly be absorbed in what we have thought about during most of our waking hours. And even while sleeping, we will remember those same things. But if one remains in sadhu sangha and during all his waking hours applies his mind to hearing Harigata, reading the Shastra, engaging in Bhagavat Seva, and doesn't worry about any other problems, then his mind will remain steady. Therefore, the sadhak who wants to elevate his mind should meditate on the pastimes described in these verses while taking Harinam. We should make this effort, pushing away the thoughts of experiencing sense enjoyment and collecting good quality possessions, and gradually, in due course, our minds will remain steady in meditation on Bhagavan's Leela. For this purpose, the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supremely merciful and generous. When Mahaprabhu was in South India, he met with Rai Ramananda, and their conversation, the Rai Ramananda Sambad, is unanimously appreciated by all the topmost devotees of this world. If you read it, you will see why. There, with each sloka, they are unveiling the deepest of secrets, and while reading it, your heart will become so spellbound that you won't want to put it down. Therefore, while taking Harinam, we should meditate on these types of narrations from the Shastra. But if we are inattentive while taking Harinam, we will not be benefited. We should first try to attain Nishta, and then Ruchi will come. After that, Ashakti will come, and we should try to transform that into Bhav. In the Leela Katha that we are hearing here from Sanatan Goswami, there are instructions for all levels of devotees. Those on the level of Shraddha will understand these verses in a particular way, and those who have Nishta will understand them in a different way. Those in Ashakti will understand them in a certain way, and those who are in Bhav will understand them in yet another way. Speaking amongst themselves, the gopis said that when all the plants, trees of Vrindavan were trembling in the breeze, it was as if they were experiencing ecstatic symptoms, and that they were drooping down solely to offer their everything to Krishna as he passed by. A sadhak should also try to offer his everything to Krishna, and when he does, then it can be said that he is really engaged in sadhana. Then the gopis, remembering how the bees would sit on Krishna's garland of forest flowers and not leave him, and how they would sometimes swarm around him offering prayers. Next, the gopis describe how the birds are even more elevated, and how they reacted to the sweet melody emanating from Krishna's flute. There are birds such as peacocks, parrots, pigeons, and coals which live on land. But first they describe the birds who reside on water. Sarasi sarasa hangsa vihangas charu gita hrita chetasa etya harim upasate te yata chita hanta malita drisho drita mona. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.35.11 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.114. The gopis say, "It is very astonishing that Krishna steals away the hearts of the swans, cranes, and other water birds in such a way that they approach him, sit down and worship him with their eyes closed, and fully concentrate their minds on him." In this verse of the Yugal Geet, the gopis are saying, "Forget those bees. More intelligent than them are these birds who reside on the water." When Krishna arrived in the forest, what astonishing thing happened? Hanta means amazed, and being wonderstruck, the gopis are now marveling at seeing these birds. When the cranes and swans on the pond heard the beautiful song Krishna was playing on his flute, they became completely spellbound. Through the medium of their ears, they held Krishna within their hearts. Ordinarily, when they see someone, they immediately flee, but instead they quickly came near to worship Krishna. Upasata means worshipping with the mind, body, and words all at once. As long as a jiva is conditioned, he is not capable of performing real upasana. He can only be endeavoring for upasana, because it means being near Bhagavan in his personal presence. When we offer puja to the deity, it is called upasana. But is it really upasana? Where is the deity and where are we? We are conditioned souls and he is all-pervading, the solidified form of Satchit Ananda. Therefore, we are not able to really be near him. But when our hearts are pure enough and we attain a spiritual form, then we can go near him and it can be called upasana. But as long as we are conditioned souls, full of anarthas, we cannot really offer him archan. So from far away, these birds approached Krishna with yata chitta, their minds fully controlled. But in our present condition, our minds are not controlled. In meditation, there are stages of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, dhyana, durvasmrita, and finally, samadhi. And when one has achieved this state, then his meditation can be called real upasana. So when those birds heard Krishna playing the flute and saw his exquisite form, they became yata chitta, fully self-controlled. This is one symptom of a sadhu. And two more are described in this verse. Milita drisho. They closed their eyes. And drita mona. They became silent. Ordinarily, they were always making their chirping sounds, but instead they became silent. Speech is the cause of so many faults. If someone speaks in a deceptive or unbeneficial manner, his mind will be contaminated and therefore become restless. But if one's speech is controlled, then he will never offend any Vaishnava. Fighting and quarreling, uncontrolled speech is the cause of all this. Therefore, in the Upadeshamrita, the first of all instructions given to us is Vacho Vegam. Our speech must be controlled. So here it says, Drita Mona. The tongues of the water birds, which ordinarily make so many sounds, at once became silent. If someone desires to engage in bhajan, then they should practice silence, which means not speaking anything besides Krishna Nam or Krishna Katha. Then it will really be sadhan bhajan. And also milita drisho. Those birds close their eyes. They took a look at Krishna and then immediately close their eyes. What does that mean? Through the medium of their eyes, they took Krishna into their hearts, and then they had no desire to see any worldly object. Anyata chitta. Remaining silent with their eyes closed, their minds became fully controlled. From looking here and there and speaking in an unregulated manner, one's mind becomes restless. For this reason, Bilva Mangala plucked out both of his eyes and became silent except for speaking Krishna Katha. But without harming our eyes or tongue, we should simply control them, and then automatically our mind will become controlled. Here the gopis are saying, this is a very astonishing thing. These birds, who ordinarily chirp day and night, have today become silent, and closing their eyes, they have taken Krishna into their hearts. Now automatically their minds have become controlled, and they have no remaining desire in this world. If someone desires to engage in bhajan, then they must be like this. This instruction is for all levels of devotees, and according to one's level, one will be able to do this. In the Yugal Gita, we find, Ahosaki, we are unable to do this. Day and night our minds are restless. We are not able to keep our eyes closed, and we are also constantly conversing. We are unable to remain silent. The swans and cranes can go near to Krishna and receive his direct darshan, but we cannot get such a good opportunity. They are certainly of a higher class than us. This is the gopis' Uttam Adhikari vision. Even though their eyes remain open solely because they are always searching for Krishna, and even though they are unable to remain silent solely because they are always speaking about Krishna, they are considering everyone else to be more fortunate than themselves, and they are taking instruction from everything and everyone. Sanatan Goswami also gives another meaning to this verse being discussed. These birds, being attracted by the sound of Krishna's flute, came near him, but then they too could not remain silent. Very softly, they chanted, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And although they closed their eyes, their minds could not be controlled because waves of ecstasy were flowing inside them. Krishna attracted the gopis in the night by playing the flute. They stood before him silently. Some of them may have even closed their eyes. But does that mean that their minds were peaceful? On the contrary, countless varieties of bhav were churning in their hearts. If anyone goes near Krishna, will they be able to remain silent? All the time they will be singing either Krishna Katha or Krishna Nam. And will they be able to keep their eyes closed? They will be looking here and there to find the place from which the hypnotic flute sound has come? And will their minds remain steady? Their minds will certainly become even more restless in a state of divine ecstasy. Prayo batamba viga munayo vaneshmin. Krishnekshiktam tad uditam kala venugitam. Aruhya ye druma bujan ruchira pravalan. Shrinvanti milita drisho vigatenya vacha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.14 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.115. O friend, the birds of Vrindavan are actually sages. They have taken positions on the branches of trees which have new and fresh leaves, from where they can easily have darshan of Sri Krishna. Sitting there and hearing the sweet vibration of his flute, they close their eyes and become immersed in divine bliss. Krishna and Baladev were decorated as if they were dancing actors entering an arena to give a performance. They were adorned with forest flowers and jumped about like young deer. This verse says, Vigatanaya Vacha, the birds became silent, which corresponds to what was mentioned in the previous verse. Krishna played the flute very beautifully, and at once all the peacocks gathered together. They were sitting in the kadamba trees on the top of the mountain, but at once they came down to the meadow to be near Krishna. Then so many different varieties of birds came near and watched as Krishna was playing the flute and the peacocks were dancing. At that time, seeing through the eyes of Bhav, the gopis spoke this verse. In great astonishment, they said, Prayo Bhatamba. Amba generally means mother, but does that mean they were speaking to Yashoda? Will all of these sentiments come to them when they are before Mother Yashoda? No, that bhav will be constrained. The sentiments of Vatsalya and Madhurya are completely opposed to one another, and neither can remain in the other's presence. So here, Amba means they are addressing another Sakhi. O Sakhi, the birds of this forest are actually Munis, because upon hearing the sweet melody Krishna is playing on the flute, they have closed their eyes and are simply remaining silent. They have descended to the trees of the meadow and are sitting on the branches in such a way that there is no obstacle to their seeing Krishna, and where Krishna can also glance at them affectionately. Druma Bhujan means the branches of trees and can also refer to the tree of the Vedas. The Vedic tree has thousands of long branches, and seated on certain branches, according to their classification, are Karmis, Jnanis, Yogis and Tapasvis. The vulture is seating where there are no leaves, and the coal is seated where the mango buds are drooping. Eating these soft buds and leaves, it sings, Kuhu, Kuhu. The peacocks mostly sit on the tops of the kadamba trees, and they are very beautiful in appearance and very good dancers. Among the Vedic branches are also seated various kinds of munis. Seated on one branch is Patanjali Rishi, on another is Jaimini Rishi, and on another is Gautam Rishi. But the birds of Vrindavan are different from them and are sitting on which branch of the allegorical Vedic tree? The branch where the fruit which has no seed, the ripened fruit of the Puranas and all scriptures, where this can be found. That ripened fruit is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And sitting on this branch, they can taste the Bhagavatam, have the darshan of Krishna, and Krishna can affectionately glance at them. So the gopis are saying, certain munis have become birds in Vrindavan, and upon hearing the beautiful melody from Krishna's flute, these munis have become silent and are sitting quietly with controlled minds. Just see how fortunate they are and how unfortunate we are. Being birds, they can hear the melody of Krishna's flute and approach him and feel so much ananda. But we can't listen to his flute or go near him. If we could become calls or parrots or any other bird and go to hear Krishna playing the flute at Govardhan and seeing the peacocks dancing, then our lives would become meaningful. Danya sma muda gatayo piharinya eta ya nanda nandanam upata vichitra vesham akaranye venyu ranitam saha krishna saraha pujam dadur virachitam pranayavalokai. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.21.11 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.116. Those ignorant deer are also fortunate, because accompanied by their husbands, they are standing motionlessly and listening to the vibration of Krishna's flute. It is as if they are offering puja to the gorgeously attired son of Nanda with their loving glances. The gopis' meditation became diverted, and again their internal vision was directed towards another group of living entities. They classified the bees as more fortunate than themselves, the swans and cranes as superior to the bees, the birds who reside on land as more fortunate than the water birds, and the deer as superior to the birds. Most fortunate of all are these deer, because not only have they at once approached Krishna, and not only have they received his loving glance with their eager eyes, but in their exchange of glances was the most affection. Mudha gatayo. People call deer foolish. Because the deer easily falls into traps, they are considered foolish as a species. With some simple allurement, they can be easily captured. We have heard that sometimes hunters have someone play a flute very sweetly, and being attracted, the deer will come and fall into a trap. But the gopis say, we don't consider the deer to be foolish at all. Hearing the sound of Krishna's flute and seeing his gorgeous dress, they have approached him. Upata vichitra vesham means Krishna is decorated with forest flowers and leaves such as the fragrant mango leaf. He is adorned with red powder in various places and has the designs of spiders drawn on his cheeks, and upon the body of Govardhan he appears more beautiful than millions of ornaments. Saha Krishna Saraha means the female deer were searching here and there for Krishna, and their husbands were following behind them to protect them. Pujang dadur virachitam pranayavalokai means that they gazed towards Krishna's beautiful face with great love, and it was as if they were offering puja to him with their sidelong glances. Upon seeing this, and how affectionately Krishna also glanced at them, seeing how much mutual love there was between them, the gopis said, they have received such a wonderful opportunity, but where is such an opportunity for us? Can we approach Krishna and offer archan to him with our eyes? We are not so fortunate. If after leaving these bodies we could become female deer, then we could receive such an opportunity and our lives would become meaningful. Thus ends chapter 6 of Bhakti Rasayana.